weekend, the Guardians of the Galaxy go on one final ride. And with endings come a reevaluation. I've been rethinking a lot of things about the MCU recently, in particular, my thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You had my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
So today I'm going to share my updated tier ranking of all 32 MCU films. If you want to join in on all the fun, I'll put a link down below in the description where you can create your own tier ranking of the MCU films. Create one, share it on social media, and then tag me. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter. Maybe I'll share some of your tier rankings. With that said, let's get started with the fun, and we're going to start all the way at the beginning with Iron Man. So Iron Man lacks all the razzle-dazzle, the scope, the size of later MCU films. And for me, that's exactly why it's great. It gets to be a character-based MCU film where this deeply flawed man, Tony Stark, goes on a hero's journey where he goes into a literal cave, is brought back to life, transformed, and has this redemptive arc that, because he's so flawed and so compelling, it takes all the way until Endgame for it to be fully realized.
You're gonna kill yourself, Tony.
I shouldn't be alive, unless it was for a reason.
The only thing you really fight for is yourself. You're not the guy to make the sacrifice play, to lay down on a wire and let the other guy crawl over you.
I think I would just cut the wire.
And I am Iron Man.
The other thing here that just makes this movie shine is Robert Downey Jr., who just has effortless charisma and chemistry with absolutely everyone. This is one of the first MCU films. It's still one of the best ones. Homelander, what do you think?
It was perfect. Perfect. Everything, down to the last minute details.
I don't normally agree with him, but in this case, he's right. This is a top-tier MCU film. Next up, The Incredible Hulk, and this has always been an oddity in the MCU for the obvious reasons. It's the only movie where Edward Norton played Bruce Banner, the Hulk, and he has a totally different vibe than Mark Ruffalo. It's the only MCU film which was distributed by Universal, which, tonally speaking, gives it a very different feel than we're used to. For that reason, every time I put out one of these rankings, someone comments, actually, this movie's not in the MCU. Yes, it is. I think it's a lot more enjoyable than a bunch of people give it credit for. The Hulk action, I think, is really good. Now, the story here is clunky. It's a movie that it's well known that it was rewritten, reshot, and reworked in the editing room. And you can feel that while you're watching it. It's definitely not a smash, but it's not an abomination either.
I understood that reference.
It's not great. But I also do think it's one of the most underrated films in the MCU. I'm going to call this one fun but flawed. Third film on here, Iron Man 2, and I would call this the MCU's first misfire. When it first came out, I think it played better because the novelty of more Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man was still there. But with time, when you saw him in other movies, it became clear that this was a really messy film. The cast is great. The script is not. Jon Favreau publicly said he wanted 3 years to make the film to get the script right, but the studio demanded a 2-year turnaround because they were rushing for a deadline to get to the Avengers film, and they mandated a bunch of plot points to set up the Avengers. And because of that, you get a film that lacks tension as well as action sequences, and you get a scene where Iron Man pees his Iron Man suit.
You know, the question I get asked most often is, Tony, how do you go to the bathroom in the suit? Just like that.
Let's just agree to never discuss this.
So put it all together, and I think Iron Man 2 is some early MCU growing pains where they were still figuring out how to set up future movies and doing all of this organically. So for me, this one is bottom tier. Thor, like Iron Man 2, I think this movie is an example of early MCU growing pains, but in a different fashion. With this movie, they were trying to figure out, how do you have this one big franchise with multiple franchises inside of it, where several of those stories are set on Earth, and this one is set in space. And they didn't fully capture how to balance all of that. Now, they hired Kenneth Branagh to direct the film, and he'd made a name for himself over the previous 20 years doing cinematic Shakespeare adaptations, and he brings that grandeur to Asgard. And when you get to Earth, it's fun and as funny as this fish out of water comedy.
What?
I just don't know that the two pieces fit quite together. It's pretty jarring when it transitions between those two vibes. So it kind of lacks tension, and the threat, the stakes never quite feel as big as the world that we're in. It's enjoyable. It's fun. But I think it's flawed, and it never quite makes you go,
I like it.
I know, it's great, right?
Another!
Our next to last film of Phase 1, Captain America, The First Avenger. And I love so much about this film. Some of my frustrations with more recent MCU films is that there's a certain sameness. They feel kind of directed by MCU committee. And when you go back and watch this movie, it has such a distinct look to it with the cameras they chose, the production design with kind of this retro futuristic technology with everything that Stark's building, the color scheme to it. And I just love Steve Rogers as a character who just has this classic sense of nobility. And they got the perfect person to play him in Chris Evans. Now, all that said, as much as I love the first hour with his origin story and the aesthetics, the actual plot with Red Skull, I don't think is as compelling. So I can't go fully top tier on this one, but I do think it is great. Closing out Phase 1, we have the Avengers. And I remember when they first put out the trailers for this movie, I wasn't completely won over. I wasn't crazy about what they were selling. And as much as I enjoyed Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, and Firefly, I wasn't sure if Joss Whedon was the right person to do an Avengers film. And then I went to go see it. They pulled it off.
Ooh, that's nice.
They found a way, they cracked the code to take all of these different franchises and blend them together in something that felt right and consistent. The way that Thor felt a little bit clunky in the way that it tried to merge these worlds, Avengers pulled it off. And then when you get to the third act, it's just such a grin-inducing final battle where the good guys are victorious. You have sacrifices from characters who initially were introduced as highly narcissistic and selfish. It just hits all the right beats. It's not the most complex of our big team-up movies, but it is one of the most satisfying. This one is top tier for me. As a heads up, there's an extended version of this video over on Patreon with 10 extra minutes, 33% more content in the edit. I realized that I talked longer about some of these movies than would perform well on YouTube. You can watch the full version of this video, plus unlock hundreds of live streams, hundreds of other videos by joining at any level over on Patreon. Also, the version of this video over on Patreon has the ads turned off. There's more information down below in the description. Kicking off Phase 2, we have Iron Man 3, and this movie came out 10 years ago. Iron Man's trilogy of films ended a decade ago, which is pretty wild to think about. This is another oddity in the MCU as it has a bunch of plot points that are completely abandoned by the time you get to Age of Ultron. This closes out Tony Stark's arc, and then he stuck around in the role for 6 more years. And of course, you have the Mandarin twist that was so poorly received, they retconned it in Shang-Chi.
So I made a decision and it was wrong. It was a bad call, Ripley.
It put all that aside, I think the movie itself works as a subversive Shane Black action movie. He knows how to write dialogue for Robert Downey Jr. He knows how to shoot action sequences. They're different. They stand out. I think the movie works outside of the Mandarin twist. So I gotta say, this one, first one in this category, very enjoyable. Oh, look, we got a special guest. What's your name?
Paris.
Oh, nice to meet you. Who's your favorite Avenger? Do you know who the Avengers are? Well, you will soon enough. We watch lots of Marvel and Avengers in this household. Thanks for stopping by. But say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Moving right along, we have Thor: The Dark World, the MCU at its most mediocre. The shots are in focus. The effects are polished. The stars are charming and good-looking. Doesn't do anything to overtly embarrass itself. It just doesn't do anything at all to stand out. The only thing more forgettable than the plot of this movie is the villain Melkith.
Who?
Who does not have a single defining characteristic that you could remember about him to describe him. In the end, it doesn't do a single thing that's interesting. It's just
mediocre.
Thus, it's bottom tier. Speaking of the bottom tier, Captain America the Winter Soldier is not in the bottom tier. After a less than stellar 2013, the MCU had a great 2014, and with the Winter Soldier, they were once again able to show just how versatile the MCU can be by pulling in stuff from political thrillers, conspiracy films, intrigue, all while keeping the fun and the action that you want from an MCU film. When it comes to the action, it has some of the most visceral, vicious, cool stunt work that we've ever gotten in an MCU film. One of the most mature and praised films in the entire MCU. But for me, I only put this one in the great tier.
You don't like it?
I know this is at top tier for a lot of people. I've never gotten those big emotions that other people have gotten from this film. As long as I've got top tier on the mind, Guardians of the Galaxy, and I am definitely going to put this one in the top tier. Now, when they first announced that they were doing a Guardians of the Galaxy film from the director of Super, who wrote the Scooby-Doo movies, I thought Kevin Feige had completely lost his mind. And then they put out the marketing, and it was really clear they knew the general public didn't know who the Guardians of the Galaxy were.
What a bunch of a-holes.
And then I went and saw the film, and I was instantly won over.
You are great.
James Gunn has a gift for taking all of these kind of obscure characters that aren't well known, they're definitely not the A-list, and taking all these broken people in forming a family out of them that you actually care about. So much so that the movie can get away with a line as sappy as,
"We are Groot."
This is one of the best films, one of the freshest films, one of the funniest films in the entire MCU. Easily top tier. That'll bring us to our next Avengers film, Age of Ultron. And if Guardians of the Galaxy was one of the most pleasant surprises I have ever had in a movie theater, Age of Ultron was a pretty big disappointment. But I don't think it's bad, but I do think it's fun, but highly flawed. This movie goes for more of everything. The action sequences are bigger. There's more Avengers. There's more villains. There's more quips. But bigger isn't always better. I think the individual moments, action set pieces, jokes are just as good as the first film, but I don't think the script, the plot, the storytelling, pulling all of it together is nearly as strong. And I think in the case of this film, some of that is more MCU growing pains, where there were mandated plot points that you have to set up Thor Ragnarok, you have to tease Thanos, you have to do this, in which case it was a movie with just too much going on, and the movie started to show some cracks because of all that. I would also say this is the most confusing film in the entire MCU. So I think it's good, it's enjoyable, but also very flawed. Closing out Phase 2, Ant-Man, the MCU's heist film. Unlike Guardians of the Galaxy and Age of Ultron, it definitely does not have giant stakes. It's very small scale, and it uses that to its advantage, quite literally. The big thing here propping up this movie is the Pleasant cast, led by Paul Rudd. The superhero I didn't know that I needed. And we get some nice, elegant legacy actors in Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer. Now, the plot might not be antsy since it's very reminiscent of the first Iron Man. Both of those movies were being written around the same time. This movie took a long time to actually get produced and released. And so it feels a little bit familiar. It's not fantastic, but it is a nice addition to the MCU. And it's nice that Paul Rudd as Ant-Man will be a permanent member of the MCU. So for me, it's highly enjoyable. That'll bring us to Phase 3 with Captain America Civil War. And in a lot of ways, this is peak MCU for me. So of course, this is going to go top tier. And what I mean by this is that this is the ultimate example of their long form interwoven storytelling coming together. It's a sequel to both Age of Ultron as well as Winter Soldier, while being followed up by Black Panther as well as Black Widow, and breaking up the Avengers, which lays the foundation for Thanos in the Infinity War and his victory that takes place there, all while telling a story with an interesting dramatic tension at the center of it. Our Avengers have a philosophical and ideological disagreement about how they move forward. It has the airport sequence, which is a dream come true for any kid who ever played with their superheroes in the sandbox. So for me, this one is easily top tier. That'll bring us to the MCU film with the coolest visuals, Doctor Strange. And the thing this movie does so well is finding a new way to visualize sorcery and wizard stuff and magic. After a whole decade of Harry Potter films that did it one way, what they did here was kind of like pull from Inception and Dark City and Escher drawings and find a way to have these world-bending, spellbinding sorcery battles that are super interesting to look at, where they present an image to us that we realize inherently defies nature and the laws of physics. Kind of like a Fast and the Furious movie.
I don't want to die!
Okay, maybe nothing like a Fast and the Furious movie. Unfortunately, the specific story and villain plotline I don't think are as compelling as the world, the characters, and the visuals. So it's a movie that it has a great package for a not-so-great script. And so I'll say that this one is enjoyable, it's fun, but it's flawed. That'll bring us to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Of all the opinions I have ever shared on this channel in its near 7-year history, with over 2,000 videos, the hottest take by far that has received the most angry comments is my take on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. When people would ask, how does it compare to Volume 1? I would answer,
it's worse. It's so much worse.
For 6 years, I said this is one of the most disappointing films I've ever seen. For 6 years, I said every time I watch this movie, I like it a little bit less. That is, until 2 weeks ago. I watched it again, and I liked it a little bit more.
Yes!
Now, that's not that I had a total reevaluation of the film, but especially in light of the last couple of years of MCU films, where I felt like it's a little bit of quantity over quality, where I felt like there's more and more films that feel directed by committee. Rewatching this movie, it's a James Gunn film. With his strengths, with his weaknesses, I still have issues with the tone, the relationship between Drax and Mantis and how it plays out in the film. I have issues with the way that it's structured and the lack of tension, the villain reveal. I still have all of those issues with it. But in light of even watching the holiday special and more recently rewatching Guardians Volume 3, the movie plays a little bit better for me. It's a movie that I can respect that it's actually one director's creative vision, even with its flaws. So I'm going to go fun, but flawed. It has moved up. That'll bring us to Spider-Man Homecoming. And with Spider-Man joining the MCU, Kevin Feige was in a little bit of a tough spot, as Spider-Man's origin story had already been told two separate times over the previous less than 20 years. And so they had to find a unique, distinct angle. How do you continue to tell Spider-Man stories when it feels like we've already done that? And I felt like they found the right angle to find something new to do with the character, as well as a new perspective on the MCU by making a very high school-centric movie with a very high school Peter Parker, with all the immaturity, with all of the tensions and balances of trying to do school, girlfriends, friends, while wanting to be a superhero. It was a different type of story to tell in the MCU, and also not what historically has been the focus of the other Spider-Man movies. So I totally dig it. I'm putting this one in the great category. Moving right along, Thor Ragnarok. After the thoroughly mediocre and forgettable Dark World, Taika Waititi overcorrects and creates a movie that just oozes style and fun. From the color scheme, to the score, to the production design, to the sense of humor, everything here pops. The movie's biggest asset is that Waititi leans heavily into Chris Hemsworth's impeccable comedic timing. This one teeters right on the edge of top tier for me, but a few too many times, Taika Waititi can't hold back. He cuts the dramatic tension with a joke, so knocks it back just a little bit. Still a great MCU film. The MCU was on a hot streak in 2017 and 2018, and that'll lead us to Black Panther, one of the most thematically rich films in the MCU, where they constructed a villain who's evil, who needs to be defeated. He has a legitimate criticism of Wakanda and what they've been doing, and thus, in the end, he has to be defeated. But he can be defeated and still have a certain moral victory in helping T'Challa and Wakanda as a whole to see how they can better serve the world. Now, it was nominated for Best Picture, which I thought was a bit much, in particular when you're throwing in literal sneaker puns.
And I made them completely sound absorbent. Guess what I call them? Sneakers.
As well as having war rhinos, some bad CGI, but still easily this movie I would call great. Continuing the MCU's hottest streak, Avengers Infinity War. After 10 years of teases and buildup, they pulled it off and it lived up to the hype.
It's the best. I love it.
They wisely chose a straightforward MacGuffin story about tracking down Infinity Stones, and that meant there was plenty of room for our characters to interact.
Where is Gamora?
Yeah, I'll do you one better.
Who's Gamora?
I'll do you one better. Why is Gamora?
I'm Peter, by the way.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, you're using your made-up names. I'm Spider-Man then.
It leaves plenty of room for massive, gigantic action set pieces and battles. The main standout here, of course, with Thanos, a multiple layered villain who, of course, is a psycho. But there's some kernel of truth in there when you went, I understand why he's doing this. It has everything that I want from a comic book film. Ego, what do you think about this one as an MCU film?
One of Earth's greatest compositions. Perhaps its very greatest.
I'm going to agree with him. This is top tier. Ant-Man and the Wasp, coming off of Infinity War, the most anticipated film in the entire MCU. This one doesn't feel brilliant, but that's what makes it fun. It tells an independent story, which isn't trying to up the ante. It's just trying to have a lot of fun antics.
Ants. Ants. Ant-Man.
Some of that is it's a simple MacGuffin story about tracking down a briefcase. It's not the most important film in the MCU, but coming off a movie with such massive stakes, you want something to kind of calm things down a little bit. I get why for many of you it's anticlimactic, but for me, it's fun, it's pleasant, it's highly enjoyable. Captain Marvel, a rare Phase 3 misfire. It's fun to see a young, less cynical Nick Fury, but the movie doesn't really know what to do with the lead character.
Is that like a personal attack or something?
The story, the tone, even some of the performances are clunky and awkward. And this is a classic example of a twist villain done wrong, where when you rethink the first half of the movie in light of the second half, it doesn't play right at all. Now, I think some of the hate that this movie and Brie Larson get are way overblown. Still, this is bottom tier for me. Speaking of the bottom tier, Avengers Endgame is nowhere near the bottom tier. This is a satisfying conclusion to the Infinity Saga. It finds a way to explore each of our Avengers in a new way by seeing how they respond to tragedy, and it has possibly the greatest third act of any movie of all time. Now, when I first watched the movie, I took some issues with the big Thor Bowski. Here
I am! And now, looking back on it, I just remember the good stuff.
This is a marvelous conclusion, so it's easily top tier. And closing out Phase 3, Spider-Man Far From Home. I get that this movie is superficially entertaining. I just don't think it works at all on a story level.
Why would you say something so controversial yet so brave?
First off, for the seventh time, a villain is motivated by scorn for Tony Stark. Hit me, baby, one more time. Second, there's a scene where a grown woman demands that an underage Peter Parker take off his clothes in front of her in private.
Take off your clothes.
Okay.
Just imagine how this scene would play if it was Nick Fury making that same demand of MJ.
No, don't like that.
Finally, the central premise of this movie revolves around Tony Stark leaving his very dangerous weaponized glasses to an underage high schooler who has been dead for 5 years without any instructions.
That's a weird story.
Sure, it's kind of fun, but at the cost of all credibility. I know when a bunch of you see my placement, you're gonna wanna scream.
How dare you?
But I have to go bottom tier. We've made it to Phase 4 with Black Widow. After a 2-year absence from theaters, they gave us the long-lost Phase 3 movie 5 years too late, and after the title character had died. Maybe this is a brilliant way to kick off Phase 4?
Oh, it's so dumb, it's brilliant.
No! It's just dumb.
Weird timing aside, I enjoy a lot of this film. I like that it's a spy film with very personal stakes. Florence Pugh's the future of the MCU.
This thing that you do when you whip your hair when you're fighting.
It's a fighting pose. You're a total poser.
You're not a poser.
And then there's a bunch of other stuff, in particular in the third act. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking with Taskmaster, but they take a great villain and just turn it into an absolute dud. And then they take a movie that's fairly grounded spy film, and you get into the third act, and it just turns into an absolute video game sequence with people falling out of the sky while sword fighting. But I still liked a lot of it. So we're gonna go fun but flawed. Then we have Shang-Chi in The Legend of the Ten Rings, and this one is really frustrating for me. I'll just cut to the chase here. This one is highly enjoyable, but I think it had all the ingredients to be great, maybe even top tier.
We were on the verge of greatness. We were this close.
I love Hong Kong martial arts films, and this movie is heavily influenced both by Jackie Chan choreography as well as the wire fu of movies like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It gives us a great villain. And then there's a bunch of things about this movie that feel like the MCU-isms just had to step in. They couldn't just trust Jackie Chan fight choreography, so all of a sudden, it violates the very principle of Jackie Chan fight choreography and turns into a CGI fight on the outside of a bus or on scaffolding. And so I think it's highly entertaining. There's a bunch of great things in here, but I also feel like this is, it feels the corporate MCU-isms here quite a bit. Eternals, the most polarizing film in the entire MCU. To its credit, it's ambitious. It introduces 10 new heroes. It tracks thousands of years of history. It gets the band back together. It really gives us our first look at the Celestials. It tackles multiple timeless philosophical questions. Oh yeah, we gotta have our MCU jokes in there.
What's this even made of? Vibranium?
Fall Collection. IKEA.
As well as a bunch of mandatory MCU action sequences. Ash, is it a good idea to cram all of this into a single film?
Yeah, buddy, I gotta tell you, that's probably the worst thing I've ever heard.
I know a bunch of you loved it, and honestly, if you loved it, I think that's awesome, and I kind of understand why it's a movie that would really work for a bunch of people. But did it work for me?
Not a chance. Not this time.
I gotta go bottom tier. That'll bring us to Spider-Man No Way Home, a movie whose second half is so fun and satisfying, you forget that the setup for the movie is that Peter Parker asked Doctor Strange to erase everybody's memory so that he can get him and his friends into college, and Doctor Strange, a grown-up, doesn't discuss the parameters with Peter before starting the spell.
Well, that's just lazy writing.
But it's a fantastic Spider-Man experience. It's an example of a movie that can get a lot of things wrong, and it doesn't really matter because it gets all of the right things right in a way that just feels so special. This is fan service done right and in a way that drew out emotions from people in a theater that you rarely experience.
It was so crazy in there, like literally like everyone was standing up and screaming.
I know, my voice is gone. I was clapping, screaming.
There's a bunch of parts where people are like, whoa!
The setup might be flimsy, but it doesn't really matter. So for me, I think I'm gonna edge this one out. It's top tier. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. This is a really tricky one for me to place. I know a lot of you were incredibly disappointed by this film for a variety of different reasons, but I liked it. Some of that is that I'm a 25-year-long Sam Raimi fan, and this isn't Spider-Man Sam Raimi. This is Evil Dead 2 Sam Raimi, except in the MCU.
Groovy.
On the other hand, there's like a whole 40% of this movie that feels like it was directed by MCU committee, not Sam Raimi. It's well documented that this movie was reshot, reworked. In fact, the America Chavez actress said that they turned in over 30 rewrites for this movie.
I have a bad feeling about this.
You can tell. You watch this movie and can tell that happened. Likewise, if you're going to call it Multiverse of Madness, I want something a little bit crazier than pizza in a bowl and go on red, stop on green. But at the end of the day,
I liked it.
So I got to go highly enjoy it. Then we have a movie that did disappoint me, Thor Love and Thunder. And this was a real heartbreaker because on the one hand, it's a movie that tackles the philosophical problem of evil, love, and death. And on the other hand, you have screaming goats, Thor doing split kicks, here I am, and a movie that feels dead set on humiliating Thor throughout its runtime. It's just such a weird mix of good ideas and bad ideas.
It's time for another good idea, bad idea. Good idea.
Hiring Oscar-winning dramatic actor Christian Bale.
Bad idea.
Putting him in the goofiest movie in your entire franchise. And that's the problem here. The movie takes all of these great ideas, but that puts them in a movie so silly, it plays like self-parody. So for me, this one is definitely, but unfortunately, bottom tier. Closing out Phase 4, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, and without question, this is the movie in this franchise that was just dealt the absolute worst hand. In addition to having to make a movie that lives up to its predecessor that was nominated for Best Picture, while dealing with a global pandemic, the lead of their movie died well into the development process. And for me, I felt that they did a great job of finding a way to continue a story that made sense in light of the previous film, that honored his legacy, as well as carrying some dramatic weight to it. When you know the real life behind the scenes tragedy that led to the plot of this film, it just adds so much extra emotion to what's taking place, to where watching this movie is a little bit like going to a funeral. It's a little bit too long. It's a movie that I don't see myself rewatching a lot because it is so long and so weighty. I think because it's more of a cinematic experience than a rewatchable film at home, I'm going to go with highly enjoyable. Though highly enjoyable is a strange way to describe a movie, which I also described as like a funeral. And we've made it to phase 5 with the highly anticipated introduction of Kang in the movies Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, and it's okay. As the kickoff to a new phase with a story that's quite grand in scale, with our big bad of this entire saga, Kang.
He will burn the world to find you.
Oh.
The Conqueror.
Kind of comes off anticlimactic. Doesn't quite work the way that it should, and some of that is that it just feels like it's always playing it safe.
I'm very disappointed.
I don't know, just so many odd choices here. It's still fun. The cast still pleasant, as I've said all along. The movie as a whole, very flawed and way too safe for a movie that's supposed to make me afraid of Kang. So we're going in fun but fun. And finally, that'll bring us to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Very infamously, I was highly disappointed with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and that led to years of arguments in the comment section. And unfortunately,
oh no,
those arguments won't be able to continue because I loved Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Yes! For me, this felt like what it used to be like watching a new MCU film with big emotions, a unique vision for the characters. I felt it had a much clearer plot line with clear objectives. You could feel the stakes, the urgency, the danger from the very beginning. And it found a way to send off these characters in a satisfying way that closed out their arc.
Analogy.
Is it?
Metaphor.
Now, I'm filming this right now, Thursday afternoon, before I've been able to watch it a second time opening night. So, me in the future, where did I ultimately decide to put it? All right, this is me in the future. I've seen the film a second time. I was teetering between great and top tier. I'm going to go for it. I'm going top tier on this film. I'm putting it ahead of No Way Home. And as for today, I'm going to inch out the original Guardians. Time will tell if that stays. But this movie made me feel bigger and more emotions than almost any other film in the MCU. And for that reason, I've got to put it way high on the list. If you're new to the channel, I've done a ton of other Marvel content. First off, I did that video right over there where I ranked all 58 theatrical Marvel movies from all the different franchises. Also, I've done a ton of other MCU rankings, ranking the heroes, the villains, final battles, and so much more. And I've done spoiler reviews for almost all of the MCU films. You can check that down in that playlist over there. Thank you so much for watching, and keep talking movies and TV too much. Bye-bye.